time limit on people talking. I will happily volunteer for that role if it's needed.
She's gonna want to cap everybody.
Okay, cool.
All right, everybody, we're gonna go ahead and get started. Thank you all for joining us tonight. My name is Kayla D. Christina, and I'm a regional planner with the Land and Sky Regional Council of Governments. You'll have to forgive me for my voice. I've got a post-Thanksgiving gift of a cold. So if you cannot hear me, raise your hand, let me know, and come to you or repeat it, or we'll figure it out. So tonight, we are here to talk about short-term rentals in Weaverville. I want to clearly outline what our goal for tonight is, because we've only got an hour. So I want to make sure we use that time as effectively as possible. So tonight, our goal is to understand the picture of short-term rentals in Weaverville from the perspective of you, the general public. Now, you'll see over by the sign-in sheet that there are two additional sessions, one for those that live in neighborhoods with short-term rentals, and one for short-term rental owners or operators. So if you are a part of one of those specific groups, please be sure to join us during those sessions. The other part is gathering all of the community concerns, understanding what is happening in the community from the perspective of the community, looking at the real experiences to understand the facts of the situation. Remind y'all to sign in. Again, if you're just joining us, sign in, first and last name, add your emails if you want to continue to stay involved in the process. First thing I want to do tonight is set our rules of engagement. So these are the rules that we're all going to play by tonight. So the first is we're going to commit to making this a safe space for honest expression. We're going to demonstrate respectful engagement. So I want to hear your thoughts. I want to hear your experiences. But I also want y'all to know that it is okay to respectfully express a different opinion. But we're not going to criticize or bash others. This is a safe space for respectful engagement. Be honest, but constructive. Again, no bashing others. Everybody has different opinions. We know that's how the world works. But we don't need to bash each other. And the last is, we've got a pretty full house tonight. So we want to be concise to allow others to participate. So I'm going to be limiting the time that y'all can respond in 30-second increments. All right, so how it's going to work is I'm just going to, you know, give you guys some prompts. Raise your hand if y'all have thoughts. You'll have 30 seconds to respond to me. Your planning director, James, will bring the microphone to you so that everybody can hear. Sorry, Tamara, the town clerk, will bring the microphone to you all so that we all can hear. And we'll go from there. I'll ask you all some questions. We'll popcorn around, and we'll see what we can learn. I want to start us off tonight by painting the picture in terms of data when we talk about short-term rentals in the town of Weaverville. So per the 2021 ACS five-year census, that's one of the censuses that are sent out by the census. There are 2,125 housing units in Weaverville. So those are individual dwelling units. There are currently 85 active short-term rentals in Weaverville. So that's in the town of Weaverville. There are 85 as of November 6, 2023. Of those 85, 92% are whole house rentals, 7% are private room rentals, so renting out just an individual room rather than the whole house, and 1% are hotel, motel, bed and breakfast accommodations. So data-wise, that's what we're looking at. All right, I want to start with just some general questions. I'm going to ask you guys to raise your hands. This is going to be kind of, you know, elementary school. Who lives in the town of Weaverville? Please raise your hand. All right. And who owns property or rents in town? All right. And who lives within 500 feet of a short-term rental? If you know you do.
Below me.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Okay, awesome, thank you. All right, so that's enough of that. I am going to grab my handy dandy marker and I'm going to start writing. All right, so I've broken up our discussion tonight into two general categories, housing and community character. In research of short-term rentals, nationwide, internationally, those are some of the two biggest buckets that we see both positive and negative impacts. That's kind of how I split up our conversation tonight. And if there are other impacts, we'll also have time to talk about those towards the end. Guys have responses, raise your hand and you'll have 30 seconds to go ahead and let me know your thoughts. All right, how does having short-term rentals in Weaverville impact available and affordable housing? Does anybody have any experiences surrounding that piece that they'd like to share?
Matt Allen, member of the Local Realtor Association. We commissioned a study a couple years ago that showed the economic impact of short-term rentals in the county and the impact on housing supply and prices. There's a correlation matrix done by some economists, and short-term rentals were at the very, very bottom of any sort of correlation with the cost issue. More recently, Oxford Economics did a study in June on short-term rentals' impact on affordable housing. Once again, so minimal, and I can share those studies with anybody who wants to. I've previously shared them with the planning department and planning department.
I'm not sure what is an issue about it.
What is the issue
about having short-term rentals, Airbnb?
I, as professional staff, are not in a position to answer that question.
Oh, that's why I'm wondering why we're here.
So
that's my big question. Why are we here about short-term rentals?
I've noticed in town the LLC from outside of the state.
Mike, give
it to Mike. It'll be really short. I've just noticed that the LLCs from outside of the state that are not assigned to a family or a person are buying up several homes in the Weaverville proper area. And my concern is that we don't even know who these people are that are buying them for businesses. That was my concern.
Have you seen any sort of impacts on affordability or availability as a result of these LLCs coming in, or?
Well, I don't know. My question is, if in fact the LLCs buy it at a higher market value, in order to turn it around as a business, does it increase real estate prices? and therefore limit the amount of lower income housing or housing that can be purchased by someone who's a single family.
And do you have any examples of that?
Yeah.
Those LLCs buying property?
I think that is.
That's why I wanted to know.
So I'm gonna facilitate. If you guys have comments, please raise your hand. We're gonna kind of keep this controlled. I just want to respond. I think that that is a good question. I think Matt shared the results of these studies that show short-term rentals, and this is regardless of who they are owned by, whether it is an LLC, whether it is a development company, whether it is an individual. It's a short-term rental that's a specific use. It's not necessarily about the ownership. But I'm going to make a note of that, and that's something that maybe we can look a little bit deeper at. In the back, did you have any other comments?
I don't think this question was answered. The gentleman in the red cap asked specifically the town of Weaverville what prompted this thing, because there was really not any issue. Like, vacation rentals have been in Weaverville for a long time. So what's happened?
Okay, so first of all, let me clarify. This is a listening session. We want to know what you think about these things. It is not a time for a back and forth conversation. We're here to listen to how you feel about these issues. Okay, but I am going to answer that question. Weaverville is not the only jurisdiction that is looking at short-term rentals. Bunker County, I think there was an article in the paper yesterday, in the Citizen Times yesterday. Bunker County's looking at this. Asheville has been looking at this. Brevard has looked at this. Black Mountain is looking at this. This is not a just Weaverville issue. And the reason that it is being looked at is for all of the reasons like affordability of current housing stock. And are short-term rentals causing problems in our town? Are we impacted by the police? Is the police department having to respond to short-term rentals as problematic? Those types of things. So on the regular, town council gives staff and its boards issues and topics to work on. And so that's how it came to be. It went from town council saying, we want the planning board to look at this. We've heard things in the community. We want the planning board to take this up and look at it. And so we developed this process to begin listening to you. And this is not a back and forth. We're not going to be here able to answer all your questions tonight. This is to listen to you.
And to gather your experiences with short-term rentals in the community. In the back of
just side. Curious, how many times have the police been called at short-term rentals in the past year?
Again, sir, this is not a back and
forth. Okay.
I'm not answering.
You brought it up. You brought this up.
I was giving you the reason why we're doing this. I know that
the town has looked at it. I would encourage you to contact town staff about that. They have that information. I saw Eric hands up in this area. Yes, ma'am.
My experience living here 27 years. My experience living here 27 years is that sometime during the pandemic, the first house in downtown Weaverville that had 3 bedrooms and 2 baths sold for $600,000. Mm-hmm. And since then, real estate agents decided that was the bottom price, and it's been there and up. And those have been marketed to people specifically as Airbnb rentals, and a lot of those houses have been sold for those high prices have been sold to Airbnb people, and now that has pushed the price up of all houses, and it has pushed
and so
affordability as an issue.
Where do you see this marketing of it towards that certain use happening?
Right in my neighborhood. I live on North College, and there was a house down on, I believe it's Alexander, that sold for $1 million or somewhere in that vicinity, 950 a million. And it was specifically marketed as an Airbnb. And that's not the only one I've seen. So it must be affecting, in my opinion.
All right, so that's I think that's a good observation behind.
I think the affordability is one possible issue here, and it may or may not be the case that STRs nationwide are pushing up the price of housing, but I think it's really risky to take a study that, for instance, might look at Cincinnati or Atlanta or even Asheville and compare it to a neighborhood with only 2,000 odd single family residences. But my concern is more about the matter of availability. Because we have people all the time saying, I can't find a place to rent, I can't find a place to buy. And we know that the short-term rentals have pulled, you said 97 whole houses out of the available.
97% of 85.
97% of 85, so 80-odd whole houses out of the housing stock. It could be used by families, it could be used by your neighbors, and price notwithstanding, the availability, I think, in this town is a major, major issue.
And have you seen, is that in a certain area, is that over a certain period of time?
Well, I've seen, since we've lived here 7 years, I've seen more and more people saying, I can't find a place to live. We had a friend who was looking for a place to rent, and she finally found something, but it took her quite a while to find it. We know people down the street from us whose property was a rental, a long-term rental, was turned into a short-term rental, and then there were four people living there who had to try to find another place to live. One of them at least said, you know, I'm elderly, I've lived here for a long time, where am I going to go? I don't know where he went, but I don't believe he's here still in town.
Okay, great, thank you for that. I'm gonna go to this woman right here, Fabulous Cope. I appreciate the study that you talked about, and note that there's such a small percentage of short-term rentals with regard to the large number of homes that are in Weaverville. I know that there are four apartment complexes that have two bedrooms at 1,400 square feet each that are right over there by Walmart. So I would think that if you wanted to take away the value, the increased value of people that have put the money into their homes in Weaverville, if you want to take that away from them, I don't know why you would ever want to take that away from them. The comment about
Can I pause for one second? What do you mean by taking the value away?
By saying that, for example, the house that sold for $1 million. Congratulations. I think that's great for whoever owned that property because it increases all of our property values. And when people are now building at $400 a square foot, I'd like to know what house you are going to build that isn't going to cost you at least $600,000.
Okay. All right, I'm going to go to this woman in the back.
I'm a brand new resident, and I went through the process of trying to find a house, and my number one criteria was a walkable something in a walkable downtown. And I stayed in three Airbnbs in town over a 3 or 4 month period trying to find something. There was hardly anything on the market that everybody said you just had to come and hang out to try and network because you weren't going to find a house. I actually bought one of the houses that had been an Airbnb, and it was one that had been bought by this California investment company that had two owners with Airbnbs over a 4 year period. They'd never even been in the house, the owners. And so I just got extremely lucky. These things are marketed as Airbnbs. And so I wanted a furnished place, so you know, that wasn't a problem for me, but a lot of people don't want a turnkey, everything's there, you have to pay for it. And I have to say that my neighbors were extremely happy that they had a permanent resident buying an Airbnb.
Let me ask this, when you looked outside of downtown, did you find the same challenges in availability that you were finding in the walkable areas?
I really wanted to be in walkable downtown, so I did see some houses, but I was willing to pay the premium to be walkable, and I'm really happy that I did, but I am very concerned about the lack of housing in downtown walkable Leaderville, and to see more and more of them turn into Airbnbs, and especially the ones that are totally out of state. I mean, they're like, I don't even know how they operate. They have people coming from Asheville to do the services, and, you know, no one, there's no real person that you know who's in charge.
Thank you for that. I'm going to come back around this way. Ma'am in the orange vest over here.
Okay, we're talking about two different things. We're talking about affordability of homes, and we're talking about housing stock, right? So if you want to talk about housing stock, I'm sorry, but we do kind of need some staff input because you're talking about using factual numbers. And as far as housing stock, I believe there are currently 1,000 housing units being built or permitted for in the town of Weaverville. So we have 1,000 new units coming onto the market. As far as housing affordability, there is no affordable housing. I mean, there's no affordable housing in this Asheville area, and there's a lot of reasons for it. And as Melissa mentioned, COVID, during the onset of COVID, things changed a lot in this area, and people were flocking out of large cities and trying to move to small towns. And just that influx of people itself has contributed to housing shortage and affordable housing shortage, not just affordable housing, but housing shortage in general. But also, people were moving in from all other states, and it did bring the housing costs up, regardless of whether, I mean, they were moving here as residents, not investors. So you have that. But my neighbor on Main Street, the house just went up for sale in October. It was listed, it's a two bedroom, two bath. It was listed at over $500,000. It sold for over $600,000 to a resident who bought it and lived there. Across the street from me is a five bedroom home that an elderly lady was living in. I guess she moved out, and now it's on the market for over $800,000. That has nothing to do with short-term rentals. There's no big corporation coming in, moving in to buy it, snapping it up. I think a lot of these things are fear-based and not factual, and I think if Weaverville is going to make some logical decisions and fair decisions, that it should be based on facts.
Sure. All right, so we're gonna take two more on this subject, and we're gonna go on to the next, because we're almost at our halfway point. Ma'am, in the strike, did you want to comment on this?
Yeah, I did.
Yep.
I just wanted, what did you say?
Pretty
bloody orange vest. Yeah, I heard bloody orange vest. And we moved here, and we bought our house in 2002. And what you said, ma'am, about walking, wanting a walkable, you know, you had to come and live down here. We, in 2002, we had to also do that same thing of someone called and told us about our house. And I think it has been that way in Weaverville forever. And I'm not sure short-term rentals are what's changing that in any way, shape, or form. I will say, too, that in 2008, obviously the financial crisis, it's a supply and demand issue here. Like, there was no builders anymore. There's a shortage of that, COVID, all of that. I do think that it is very much a fear-based thing. I do think it's important also, I want to say, this is not related, but I have the microphone out, I won't speak again. But that as the town, we you know, we have these businesses in town that, like Ludington's, we have a Ludington on our street, we live on Alabama. And where are those people gonna stay? If the town wants to support, and there is, right now, those, there's an illegal parking lot there, but it is, if we're gonna regulate these, are we gonna regulate those things as well? So I agree that we don't need, you know, these big corporations and companies, and I'm not for that, and obviously if we bought in 2002 and we're still here, that we obviously want to preserve that for lots of generations to come, and I don't think it's an easy answer, and there's gotta be some sort of compromise, but it can't be one or the other.
Okay, so. Thank you. So I'm gonna go to this gentleman, and then we're gonna go on to our next topic, because we're almost at our halfway point.
Just two very quick comments. One is I'd really like to understand who is representing the real estate industry when they make comments, because that's different than just a resident comment. My second comment is I live on Church Street, and actually it was my insurance agent built a house a few houses down, and she turned it over very quickly and sold for $1.3 million. It's now a corporate Airbnb. It's got playground equipment in the back. I pass by it on Tuesdays when garbage is out to be picked up. Garbage is all over the driveway. So I think it's important to hear from real estate agents who have a dollar incentive versus residents who are just trying to live happily in the
room. Yeah, and I'll just respond to that really quick. We do have two additional sessions coming up, one for those who live in neighborhoods with short-term rentals, and one for short-term rental owners and operators to gather specific feedback. Okay, so we're gonna go on from here. And I wanna talk now about another kind of big bucket of potential community impacts, positive and negative, neighborhood character, community character. So we're in the same discussion, raise your hands, and we'll just keep going. All right, yes, ma'am, in the front.
My neighbor has garbage in her driveway. My neighbor has garbage.
And you can look at me when you're talking.
Yeah, my neighbor has garbage in her driveway the entire time. She leaves her coolers out in her driveway. I have to pick up her trash. She doesn't have a short-term rental. She is an employee of the town of Waverly.
Okay, well, yeah, impacts that you've observed from short-term rentals on community character. We're going to keep it in that box. Van in the brown.
My husband and I have been on short-term rentals for 5 years now. We do live here. Our community loves what we've done. It actually has brought the community together. We have a farm experience. And I have to say, people do come to our place because they want to visit Asheville. But what it does is it keeps people in Weaverville because they realize how much character is here, and I've had return guests because of that.
Okay, and so you said that's been over 5 years? 5 years, okay, great, thank you. And a man in the red behind?
Yes, I'm concerned about the sense of neighborliness. I know my neighbors, 5, 6 houses around me. If someone's sick, I check on them. I might walk their dog if they need help. And the house next door to us went for sale recently, and I was praying that it wasn't an Airbnb. And I'm not totally against Airbnbs. I've rented 75 of them myself, but they tend to be above someone's garage or in their basement, not a whole house. But I would feel very badly if the neighbors around me disappeared. They're my friends. I care about them. I help them. They help me. I don't want tourists surrounding me. I want neighbors surrounding me.
All right. Has anybody else experienced positive or negative effects from short-term rentals in Weaverville? And in the orange.
I've lived in this area for 30 years. I own a short-term rental in Weaverville. I have owned it since 2019. I purchased the home. It was dilapidated. It was had been vacant for a year, and no one wanted to purchase it. And I purchased it, and I renovated it and made it to a vacation rental. And my neighbors love it and me, and I know my neighbors, and they know me. My one neighbor actually had guests of hers stay in my vacation rental this summer. I've had positive experiences, and no one knows it's a vacation rental because it looks just like every other house. And I think that it's kind of limited to just think of your neighbors as somebody's there so many days or nights per month or week or year, because as we all know, there could be really terrible neighbors that you have, but you really don't want to have them as neighbors. So I think sometimes we need to expand our belief about what it's like, what creates community. And I like to think of myself as an ambassador to people from all over the world, and all that we're all neighbors. And in fact, I'm actually hosting someone from Cape Town, South Africa this month. So I'm very proud to be an ambassador for our area and to share it. And my neighbors do not mind that I'm doing it, and I'm very friendly with them.
Great. Any other impacts, ma'am, in the yellow? Yes, over here.
My husband and I own a short-term rental in San Diegoville. We're going into our fourth year. We built the cabin specifically to use as vacation rental. It took us about a year to build it. During that time frame, we have gotten to know almost every neighbor on our street. We are at our rental multiple times a week. We see our neighbors regularly. They come, they stop. If we're there cleaning the rental, they stop. We chat. We also have repeat customers who are coming back to our rental. They have also developed friendships in our community. They walk up, you know, we live in, our cabin is in an area that's easily walkable, and so we have renters that come and they walk. They've gotten to be friends with other neighbors in the community, so it's been a very positive experience. I feel like our neighbors would also say it's been a positive experience for them. It's we do our best to keep our cabin as clean and our yard is kept immaculate, and our neighbors also know if there's ever anything that they're concerned about, they can come directly to us and talk about it.
Ma'am, is here?
I don't know if I need that, but my voice carries. I think what we've heard tonight are from people who have short-term rentals that live here. They live here, they're responsible for their properties, they make sure that their neighbors know who they are and who's renting. We have, I would have considered it a short-term rental, but we rent to nurses who are looking for something, and they're travelers, so they're here for 3 months. That might be considered short-term. They're on our deeded property. We're right next door. We're there. They have people to contact in the neighborhood if they need anything, and we're not there. We're hearing that. I have no problem with that. I think what's my concern is the people that are coming from out of state and LLCs as businesses and buying up homes. And I don't know, maybe they manage them very well. But another question would be, if someone buys a piece of property for a business purpose, are they taxed differently? How do we tax these people so that the police department and the fire department who does...
So once again, not going to respond because this is listening.
But yes, think hearing about the people who are here and manage their properties, I have no problem with that either.
And we, like I said, again, we do have a session targeting those people, and hopefully they will come and provide their input and then we can share it with them. Yes, sir, in the blue.
I was just going to say that I second that. The idea of community is really what everyone's been really talking about, what's our community going to be like. I moved 10 years ago off College Street, and ever since we've done anything with our yard, people have stopped. It looks great, and we know everyone almost by their first names. And certainly there have been dark houses on the street that we know, oh, that's turned into a rental. And honestly, it's a good mix. It's a good mix of families. We see people with their dogs walking their dogs, and some are from other communities that come in just to walk because they like that community. But when there's that dark home and there's a 70 or 80 year old person living next door and they barely got a light on, and there's another dark home around, it kind of kills the community. And I think that there's fear of not having that community back in like it was. 10 years ago, there was that. I think in the last 10 years, I've seen a lot of almost every other home kind of feel. Or around the corner, dark house. And I guess sometimes it's party house, or it's, you know, 4th of July, and all the houses are full. But anyway, just wanted to say community is probably the most common thing.
Thank you. Thank you for that. Sir in the green. Is that working now?
We also own a couple of short-term rentals, and from what I've heard here, we probably already have at least 10 accounted for. Right? We have 85 in the area. That's a little under 4% of the total housing volume. We have two of them here. One of them wouldn't exist if it wasn't for short-term rentals. So when we have a discussion about housing supply, I know we're on character, I'm going to get to that in a second. There's a unit right there, there's another unit here that wouldn't exist in the first place if it wasn't for short-term rental existing at all. And underscoring that is that businesses are tough to run. They don't exist forever. And as the lady who wanted something walkable, there goes a short-term rental that was a short-term rental back into housing. So these things aren't forever. And on that, with the, you know, the community engagement, community character, you know, just in the impact of the people that we've had at ours, we've been doing this for 3 years. I mean, the impacts on the local restaurants can't be understated for people coming out of town for all of these rentals, because otherwise they'd be in whatever community actually does support this. And if short-term rentals didn't exist, I get the concern with outside LLCs. I was born and raised here, so right on Hamburg Mountain Road. I've been here my entire life. One unit wouldn't exist without it. If we don't have short-term rentals here, the outside LLCs that'll be coming in are large hotel groups. You know, it's like there's no way to avoid LLCs coming in. If we stop short-term rentals, LLCs that will be coming in will be large hotels that will take the demand. There's still a demand for people to be here, and you either have the potential that locals can build and have those houses added to the supply, or we can have hotels coming in and adding to the demand that's here. So I think the ability, I mean, even in this room, I would say there's a lot of people that haven't spoke that do own short-term rentals, are probably 20 or 30 right here of the 85. And we can't say that everybody who lives in the community and does own short-term rentals are in this room. So I think that when you're talking about community character, there's an opportunity for people to come outside and go to hotels and or just go to Asheville and stay in large hotels, or there's an opportunity for them to come and live a local experience and actually experience Weaverville. And of 85, I would say the impact over the last 10 years is in the millions of dollars to restaurants, to all the other experiences in the area.
Thank you. I want to come back more to the experiences that individuals are having surrounding short-term rentals, and if there are any that you want to share. So positive or negative. Did you have a good interaction with a renter? Did someone leave their trash out too long? Did you have to call the cops about noise? Are there any experiences like that that anyone here tonight can share? In the green?
So, good evening. I live out on Alexander Road. I'll share an experience. So, roll the clock back 5 years. I have what is now a short-term rental to the west of me, three or four houses, and still a rental to the east of me, three or four lots. Street brawl in the front yard over some illicit transaction. Police were called in the middle of the night. I'm trying to keep my wife and one out front to see what's going on, because I can tell them we don't want to be out there. Those are now the one to the west of the short-term rental. You never have a problem like that ever since. So not every rental is going to be rented to somebody who you want to be there, whether it's long-term or short-term, right? it depends on the situation, but so for our neighborhood, short-term rentals have definitely been a positive influence because it helped eradicate homeless problem. And then one other comment, the hotel, Thanksgiving, $340 a night to stay in that hotel, right? My next door neighbors, I'm sorry, across the street, family coming in town, they couldn't afford that Airbnb. So that's what they chose to do because it was affordable for them.
Right.
So that would replicate Thanksgiving dinner because a hotel owned by LLC, by the way, for $340 a night versus probably under $100 a night.
And then Green Sweater?
Hi, I live on North College Street. I've lived in Winfield my entire life, and I've had experience with both long-term rental and short-term rental in the neighborhood. And I can say that the short-term rentals are very well cared for. They look very nice, and I know my sister's place, we had short-term in one place, never had any problem with them. And then you have long-term, and the place looks run down. There's lots of activity that was not very good. So I think you have to really consider. And I know on Church Street, there are some long-term rentals that don't look really good. And short-term look better.
Thank you.
I just can't help but think if you have a short-term rental, which we do, you're dependent on that person writing you a good review. So you're doing everything you can to make their stay pleasant. And oftentimes, hotel experiences are less than that. So we have had people from Africa, from Ireland, and just reviews that are great. They thank us over and over. So all we're doing is providing a place that's quiet and clean and comfortable. They're gone all day, they're eating meals out, they're shopping, they're turning stuff in that they're taking home. To me, it's all pluses. They're spending money and they're happy.
Okay, thank you. Any other experiences behind gentlemen?
Just to reiterate, I think really the discussion we're having seems to be about corporate-owned Airbnbs and privately-owned Airbnbs. The privately-owned Airbnbs, like so many of the folks that have spoken, are well taken care of. They are concerned with the community. It's the, frankly, and there may be some exceptions to that, but what we're finding in our neighborhood on Church Street, it's the LLCs, the corporates that are coming in, taking it over with no concern about the neighbors and the residents. So again, I am not against Airbnbs in general, but I think specifically when you have corporations buying Airbnbs, it does change the neighborhood for us, the people that live here, that pay taxes.
So I want to stay with you for a second. So you said that in your experience that the LLC doesn't have concern for the residents or the residents. Can you share a little bit more about that experience, what you've observed?
Happy to do that. Yes, as I mentioned earlier, we live on Church Street, and about 3-4 houses down, during COVID, they cleared the land and they built 5 houses. One actually bought 2 pieces of property, so that's why there's 5 instead of 6. The second house built was, again, my insurance agent bought it during COVID. They had it built, and within a year, turned it around, and on the ad, it said, the real estate ad, 4 corporate Airbnbs. So that was definitely done specifically. And if you go by that house, and we'll see lots of stuff in the backyard. I mentioned the garbage, and I've gone back to Wednesday after garbage day, and it's still there. So again, the out-of-town LLC, the corporate Airbnbs, they don't have the concern for the neighbors. They don't have concern for the community of Weaverville. And I'm sure others that own their own units, that rent them out, do have that concern. So for me, there's a vast difference. And again, I also think we ought to be talking who's a real estate agent and who's just a regular resident of Weaverville. I'm done.
Okay, thank you. Any other comments on this piece? We're gonna move on. Okay. All right, so we've got about 15 minutes left. I know that I've put kind of this discussion into two buckets. So I wanted to make space to see if there were any other comments, experiences that y'all wanted to share about short-term rentals that didn't fall under housing or character. Sir, is there a cloud in that?
Good evening. My concern is, since so many of these folks run businesses, are they all reporting their income? I mean, do we, as Beaverville residents, or certainly the town, do we ever benefit from any tax revenue that's associated with that? They certainly have all of our services, but do they, I don't want to have anybody raise their hand and say, oh yeah, I report all my income to the IRS. I doubt that that happens.
So we're not going to, that's a little speculative.
Okay, well, I'm just saying, it's like, this is a real issue that, you know, I spend thousands of dollars in property taxes. Be nice to people that are conducting businesses in my neighborhood also paying taxes on the businesses.
We're not going to respond back and forth, so you can talk, but it's not going to be back and forth. No, we don't need to answer that. Sir, ma'am, answer by it fast, please.
So in general, so when I heard, being that I have a short-term rental, and I heard that this issue was being discussed, I did look into why, and I also looked into what precipitated and what's one of the problems, because I never heard any problems. And I got the reports from the town of Weaverville, and the reports were from the police department, the Weaverville Police Department, Weaverville Public Works, which deals with garbage and those kinds of issues, and the Weaverville Business Association. And all of those people reported back to the town of Weaverville saying there were zero problems associated with short-term rentals. So I think that's very important for everyone to know, and that is public record that it can be obtained from the town of Weaverville that was obtained specifically as to why are we talking about this. As has been mentioned, there is no direct correlation between affordable housing and housing stock specific to short-term rentals. This is a general problem that's happening in the area because of COVID and because of supply chain issues, because of the cost, the increase in costs of building, because of the shortage of supplies of available land in our area. We live in a mountainous area, and so there's not really a lot of buildable land. So all of those things, so I do have concern about that this is being touted as a problem when in this small town, vacation rentals have existed for a very long time, and it has not turned into a catastrophe or a bad problem. We've contributed to the vibrancy and the character of the town of Weaverville, because in order to have vibrancy and character, you have to have a mix of people and that contribute to the aliveness of it and to the businesses. Businesses in town could not thrive and could not continue to develop if they didn't have customers to come to those businesses. And just the amount of people that live in Weaverville alone are not going to be able to sustain that. So, and especially there's many elderly people that do not always go out at night and go to all the restaurants and businesses.
Sure, so, thank you. So I will say that at the end of this entire process, after the engagement, we will be preparing a report summarizing the work that the town has already done and the work that we're doing here now. And then your governing body will decide where to go with that. But this is, again, for us to gather information, gather your experiences again. In the back with the polka dots.
Hi. I just wanted to say we lived in this city for about 17 years. And we're not Airbnb owners, our neighbors aren't. We're friends with people that are Airbnb owners in the community. And I think it's good to have this proactive conversation. I don't think it's being addressed as there's something wrong. Across the entire country, this conversation is happening on every level. In Buncombe County, it's happening. And we will be affected by that. And I think it's important that we're educated and that we are looking forward and being proactive.
So I want to come back to the purpose of, thank you, I want to come back to the purpose of this section. Any concerns or experiences outside of housing and community character? We've only got about 10 minutes left, and so I want to make sure that we hear all of you.
Thank you. Good evening. Yeah, I have three Airbnbs directly behind this building, connected pretty much to the Main Street Nature Park. And one thing that I think is being overlooked is that it's my livelihood. It's my number one source of income. It's my son's livelihood. It's my daughter's livelihood, and it's real important to my wife and to our lives. And I've been doing it for about 6 years. I've got about 2,000 reviews, and that is the check and balance that keeps it from being trashy or a bad thing for our community. Speaking of trash, I'm the cleaner. I clean all of my units. I have a lady who helps me who also lives in the town of Weaverville, so that's a job here. I take the trash out, and when I look in the trash every day, pretty much, there are all the garbage comes from businesses on Main Street, Weaverville. And there's always Blue Mountain Pizza in there. There's always Leveler beer bottles in there. It's just what's been happening for the last 6 years with my very hands-on experience with this. I've also built them myself and have a lot of pride in them. And so that's all I have to say about it. Thank you very much for listening.
All right, sir, I'm on screen.
So I've come to town council meetings a few times. One of the things that's discussed often in town council is opportunities for entrepreneurship in the area. That's a big focus. And one of the things with Airbnb is part of the reason that we're here at all, or even live here. I came back here. I was born and raised here and all. We moved away. Was the opportunity of this business specifically. That's why we are here. Otherwise, we would be living somewhere else. Otherwise, we wouldn't be investing in this community. And on top of that, something else to do with development, right, for single family residents and for ourselves. Our plan is to put more houses here to do what we're doing, but also for other people as well. And when you put the kibosh, or you say that there's a chance that this might not go through, what you're saying to us directly, you know, this is just our isolated experiences. Well, those few housing units that would have existed in Asheville, Urban, Weaverville, aren't going to be here. We would go, okay, well, an opportunity for us to expand our business in this area and actually have what is a business that works in this region, which we know is mainly tourism. That we're going to put a kibosh on tourism in this area. I mean, this isn't Detroit. This isn't New York. You're not going to put up a 100,000 square foot manufacturing facility in the mountains. One of the businesses that operates here, and the main businesses that operate here, is tourism. So, you know, if we're trying to encourage entrepreneurship here, it seems a little counterproductive to actually block one of the main businesses that's actually viable in this area.
All right, thank you.
Ma'am
McGray?
Yeah,
I'm
I want to just applaud everyone for the conversation, as you mentioned. I think that, in my opinion, I wanted to come because I wanted to hear and understand, because I don't think anyone wants to take away anyone's livelihood, and especially moving forward with investments and taking care of yourself and your life. But I also think we're looking long-term. You know, we're looking long-term. Maybe are there parameters we should consider now? What do we want the town to look like in 20 years and 30 years? You talk about, you know, experiences. I haven't had experience with an Airbnb in town, but I have had the experience of living next to a family of four children and hearing the bus pull up and stop and thinking, wow, they can walk to school some of the time, or they can, who's supporting the library and the things that generally, you know, some of the people that might be visiting from out of town aren't going to be going to elementary schools or supporting the library and things. And so I just want to make sure, I mean, I'm just thinking of the balance, you know, what is the long-term balance that we want for everyone? And it just so happens that investments for us is in real estate. That's just where our society is. It's going to take a while to get out of that. But if we think long-term, we might think that that's maybe not the best investment for
We moved here in 2015, and we moved to a very nice residential area. And I'm just concerned that there would be housing stuff for other people who are looking to live in a residential area. I appreciate that people want to come and make money, and I appreciate that they take care of their property. I'm concerned about the LLC.
Thank you. All right, so we've got about 5 minutes left. Ma'am, you can interrupt, and then we'll go to...
I want this to come out as being somewhat humorous. You talk about tourism and the businesses downtown, and we do want the businesses in Weaverville to continue, because I would hate to see any of them close. But if you don't think the character of going into Blue Mountain Pizza or wine tasting has changed with this tourism, it's totally out of control. I mean, we don't experience quite the same event. Because of all of the people that have come in and are enjoying our downtown. I wish our downtown could explode and expand, but we have very limited parameters, and that may be something else that we look at as we grow our tourism and we bring people in and we want to sell our town, which is great, that we need to know how to expand some of the businesses to, I guess, support all this, which I'm totally in favor of.
Thank you. Ms. Gellman?
I thought you raised your hand. Sorry. Oh, gotcha. I have two quick comments. First, I understand that I hear people talking about how they are using the short-term rentals as ways to be business opportunities to improve their income. And I can appreciate the need for that. And what I'm wondering is whether it's not also feasible that many of those long-term rental, short-term rental properties that are improving people's income or being built for that could also be used for long-term rentals just as effectively. It's not like the only choice is short-term rentals or nothing. There are other ways to use property to generate income. And I'm also concerned about the proliferation of short-term rentals in town. In the last 3 or 4 years, I believe the number of short-term rentals in town has doubled or more. There are becoming more and more and more of it. And even if we don't think that the ones we have now are a problem, I'm concerned that 5 years from now, we may have more short-term rentals in town than we know what to do with, and perhaps we need to draw a line as to how many we can actually accommodate and keep the current year built.
All right. We can do one more. This gentleman back here, and then we'll go ahead and move on. Thank you.
I was just gonna agree with you about expanding businesses, restaurants, and things like that. There seems like there's a shortage of everything around here. Even not just downtown area, just out. More fast food places, I think, would do good around here. But I know because you got all those apartments out there too that are probably bring people downtown, and you're building more apartments down whatever road this is down here. It just seems like you need more just other structures to go along with all the people you have moving in.
All right, so I'm going to go ahead and bring us to a close tonight. I want to thank you all for your time, for coming out, sharing your thoughts, feelings, and experiences. This is how we figure out what the picture looks like, what we need to do now, and what we need to do for the future to balance what we're doing. As I said several times, please sign in, add the email, look for the town newsletters. Yes,
ma'am. I'm missing a sign-in sheet.
There's a complete one on the desk already.
And if you are one of those specific targeted groups, those that live in neighborhoods and short-term rentals, or those who are short-term rental operators or owners, please make sure that you'll attend our next sessions. Be on the lookout early in the year for the final reports that will come out all about this engagement. So with that, I will go ahead and touch and all go. I will be here for a few more minutes. So if you all just come up, say hi. My card is also up front.
Come see me again sometime.